This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many of the New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/sword. That's audiblepodcast.com/sword.
And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 20% off, go to squarespace.com and use offer code SWORD9.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Sword and Laser video. We are here on a Google Hangout on our brand new YouTube channel. I am Veronica Belmont, joined as always by my co-host, Tom Merritt.
Hello. I'm playing around with video stuff if you're watching the video version of this. How's it going?
Are you all excited about the ability to fade in and out of things?
Yeah, I'm doing Wirecast fun.
Well, why don't you show the thing you were fading out to?
Well, yes, of course, more important than the book is the actual author. Robin Schneider is joining us. She is the author of The Beginning of Everything, as well as Severed Heads, Broken Hearts. And thank you for joining us, Robin.
Well, thanks for having me. This is so fun.
So we met you first at in person at VidCon this past year down in Anaheim. It was in Anaheim, right?
I think that was Anaheim, yes.
I've been traveling a lot this summer, so sometimes it's hard to remember exactly where I've been.
It was in Anaheim.
So what were you at VidCon for?
I make YouTube videos also, so I was just at VidCon because I think that's the thing to do, right? Make YouTube videos, have friends online, meet them in person at VidCon, meet fans, just sort of hang out and have fun.
Although you are like the Renaissance woman because you're a video blogger, you're a published author, you're a writer, you're writing for TV, right?
Yes. I can say a couple of things about that. I'm not sure how much, so I might get like super quiet.
Yeah, don't get yourself in trouble. But I'm just
I won't. But I'm absolutely allowed to say that yes, I'm working on a genre show, like an original genre show concept. With Rob Tappert, and I wrote the pilot, and we're having a lot of fun sort of putting it together, and there's other people involved whom I can't name yet, but it's like the most fun thing ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. But of course, we're here today to talk about books. So tell us about your writing process, how you got into writing, and what your books are about.
Sure. Yeah, I suppose I read Harry Potter when I was a kid, and I thought it was the most marvelous thing in the world, and I freaked out. I turned to the back, and it was written by a woman, which I had not guessed when I had picked up my copy of the book. This was way, way back before the books were massively popular. This was like in the 90s. And I was like, I want to be her. I want to do this. I want to write books that aren't just like girl books, but that are epic stories of friendship and bravery and, I don't know, having a great destiny. And so that was, I guess, how I got started. And then I got a notebook and started writing novels in them. I feel like they were fan fiction. It was like wizards at summer camp. But I kept going because it's so important. I guess Neil Gaiman is the one who says to finish things. So I just kept finishing things. And eventually they weren't fan fiction shaped anymore. They were more original shaped. So I realized I had some books, and I contacted literary agents and went from there. I was pretty young, though. I was about 18, so it's all like I've tried to forget very hard. Those embarrassing moments of me trying to be super professional at 18, like going to meet literary agents and stuff.
That's
That's actually a huge accomplishment for an 18-year-old. I mean, you don't hear a lot about, you know, high school seniors going out, meeting with publishers, trying to get their first novel written. Was that, how intense was that for you?
It was pretty intense. Like, I had written my first, I suppose, book that I thought was good enough to send out when I was a senior in high school, and I started, like, I suppose, querying my freshman year of college, and that sold my freshman year of college. It's this mediocre, undercooked noodle of a book. But, I mean, I think it must have been so much easier back then because we didn't have YouTube and we didn't have Twitter, and the internet was not super distracting.
Yeah, there was less to take away from your focus. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't spend my days sending people Snapchats. I just went home. We didn't have Facebook, and we didn't have MySpace. And I could either, like, aim type chat with people, or I could type out a novel. So I felt like I'd already talked to people that day, so a novel sounded more interesting.
Well, you seem to be doing pretty good at still putting out the novels. Tell us a little bit about The Beginning of Everything.
Sure. Well, The Beginning of Everything is, I suppose, my first, like, big book.
And we should point out to audio listeners, we mean the book, The Beginning of Everything. We're not asking her to tell her about, you know, about the beginning of...
Right. No, I'm not going to talk to you about, like, the Big Bang Theory or anything, although that's an excellent show. Yeah, my book is called The Beginning of Everything. It's also extremely confusingly titled Severed Heads, Broken Hearts in the UK. So it's the same book, except the title got changed for the American edition. It was originally going to be called Severed Heads in the States too, but it sounded like a zombie apocalypse situation. So
I would think that would be a positive, but maybe that's just me.
I would think so too, but it was a massive turnoff for people who read contemporary fiction. They weren't sure what to expect, and I think zombie books in YA coming out in like this climate can read as a little bit of a ripoff or an unoriginal concept that people are tired of at this point, because there's been so many fantastic series already to that effect. So we just sort of made it less confusing. But the book, how did I come up with the idea? I suppose I always wanted to write a book about growing up like misunderstood and miserable in the suburbs. And also I wanted to write a story about kids who can find adventure in like in the real world, as opposed to sitting around and going, well, I didn't get my Hogwarts letter when I was 11 and I didn't get magic powers at 16. So I guess it's over. I guess I have to live in the real world now. What a bummer. I thought, well, I guess you get to live in the real world now. Let's find some adventures to have in it.
Now, we have some questions from our audience as well. And the first one comes from a longtime listener, Terp Kristen, who wants to know that your facts is that you read footnotes in textbooks and find those interesting. Did you read and enjoy Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell by any chance?
Oh, man. I have not read it. I have a copy of it that I think is at my parents' house, and I started, and I think I forgot that it was interesting and left it there, and I really do need to get back to it. But mostly for me, it's footnotes in medical texts, because I studied medicine in graduate school, and you'll see some like weird footnote and go, oh my God, really? And then just start, well, maybe this is just me Googling things, and then you wind up with a list of like notable people who died at the dinner table, or weird German words that don't have English equivalents.
Like Schadenfreude?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite, I think, is...
Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you're saying it pretty well. I think Kummerspeck I really like. It translates literally to grief bacon, but it means weight gain caused by emotion-related overeating.
Ooh.
Okay, I like grief bacon. Just
grief bacon.
Using that as a word.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to be like, you guys, like, I'm just having a grief bacon weekend.
I'm putting on a little grief bacon this weekend. Don't
I'm just
going to
hashtag all of my food porn Instagrams grief bacon from now on.
That's awesome. And Terp also wants to know, how serious is The Social Climber's Guide to High School? I could see it being totally tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, possibly useful for life in general, especially in those formative high school years.
Oh, boy. So The Social Climber's Guide to High School is a nonfiction book that I wrote when I was 19 that we hope never to speak of again.
Oh, too bad. We just brought it up.
Yeah, no, it's happening. Thank you. It is tongue-in-cheek. Like, it's... I am so rarely serious about anything. It really is just a bunch of advice, although I think the book is quite dated now. I think that's really like a milestone as an author for me to hit, that I have a work that I can say, oh, that's so behind the times. It refers to MySpace.
Yeah, that is funny to be like, well, at least it's not Friendster era, but it is MySpace. Right. So yeah.
Close.
I watch it, you know, I've had that happen where I'm watching old TV shows and they'll reference MySpace currently as if it was current. And I'm like, wow, this show
that does not happen.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Really?
To me recently. Yeah.
Oh. Were they doing it as like a deadpan drop or they meant
no, it?
No,
it was an older episode of the show. I'm catching up. Right. So it's not like they were doing some, they were out of touch, but I'm like, oh wow, this episode is old. Like, they're still talking like it.
Do you think it's time to bring out a new version of the book? Maybe do, you know, an addendum, update it a little bit.
Put a little Snapchat in there.
I don't know that I have that much advice for high school students anymore. I think I more just am fascinated by teen culture and want to learn about it as opposed to teach how to do it.
Well, you were an author as a high schooler. So what do you have any advice for people who are writing in high school?
I would say read a lot. When you read a book that you enjoy, read it again and then go through and see what it is that you enjoy about it. If it's the length of the scenes, the length of the dialogue that's included, if it's, you know, the characters, the humor, really like break down what it is that you enjoy about your favorite things and then see if you can put that into your own writing.
We got some questions from Casey here. Casey starts the post, Ich habe drei Fragen. I don't know if I'm saying that even close.
I don't speak German. The internet thinks I speak German.
Is that a thing? They think you speak German?
Yeah. Is that German? That's got to be German.
It looks German to me.
You keep asking that question, and I will Google Translate.
Okay.
I don't know what...
I am a jelly donut. No, wait a minute. That's Ich bin ein Berliner. Casey's first question is, what is your favorite poem and or poet?
Oh, that's difficult. I love Shakespeare. I've always loved Shakespeare's poems. I actually had a Shakespeare-themed birthday party when I was 9. But the interesting thing that I think I love about Shakespeare's poetry is that he wrote the sonnets when the theaters were closed due to the plague, because no one could go see new plays, so there was no call to write plays. Huh. So he wrote poems.
Interesting.
Also, I think you get to say Shakespeare is your favorite poet and not sound like you're just making it up if you had a birthday party themed on Shakespeare when you were 9. That's pretty impressive.
I really did. I don't know what I was thinking. It was like the Tempest themed, and so many of my classmates all like bought me copies of like the complete works of William Shakespeare.
That's so cool.
Which really
just... puff paint party. Or you do puff paint on t-shirts, and that's the party.
I think I had a scavenger hunt or something.
By the way, it means I have 3 questions in German.
Oh.
Ah, okay.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I was right about the I have. I know that in German.
You got that much.
Yeah.
Well, question number 2 from Casey. If I looked on your nightstand right now, what book would I find you presently reading?
It's very intimate,
Casey. That's a great question. I just bought Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell, and I haven't read that yet, but apparently it's about a girl who writes like very popular fan fiction about a series that's similar to Harry Potter, so that sounds like it's going to be really fun. And then I'm rereading Theophilus North by Thornton Wilder at the moment, which is sort of magical realism. It's, I suppose, if you could take Downton Abbey and The Great Gatsby, but if the main character had like sort of weird magic powers he didn't want to tell anyone about, but as a novel.
That now I want to see that made into a movie too. Question number 3 from Casey. What book do you think more people should read but simply haven't for one reason or another?
I feel like, again, Theophilus North is fantastic literature. It's so interesting, but I think maybe The Secret History by Donna Tartt. I think it's such an interesting story about college and such a cautionary tale against wanting to belong to an elite group, like at the expense of who you are. And I feel like it's a modern classic, and people who know about it, it's like, oh my God, you know about that. It's sort of like this great, weird undercover group. And I know it was very popular, I think, when it came out in, was it the 80s or the early 90s? But it certainly hasn't been something I've been hearing about lately.
So do you have any favorite genre authors, people in the sci-fi, fantasy, or even the horror space?
Oh, I grew up reading Piers Anthony, which I think is really obvious because I'm such a pun fanatic. Oh gosh, who am I liking? I love Tamara Pierce. I think she's fantastic, and she writes such fierce female characters. Yeah, I think those two. Diana Wynne Jones, like everyone needs to grow up reading Diana Wynne Jones. I'm shocked when people have not read the Crestomancy books.
I have not.
Well, come on, you have to. They're
amazing.
Didn't
exist when I grew up, so I have an excuse.
She wrote Howl's Moving Castle, too, which was turned into like the Hayao Miyazaki film.
Oh, but, wow.
Yeah, those are really fantastic books.
All right, I'll have to check those out. Are they YA or are they
adult novels? Middle grade, they're younger. In terms of like adult writers, Connie Willis, I really like To Say Nothing of the Dog. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was fantastic because it did what Doctor Who does, where it's sci-fi and time travel, but it goes back in time. So.
Nice. And then our last question comes from, our last group of questions really comes from Phoebe, who wants to know, is Violet ever going to make a return or is she gone for good? I think I remember somewhere that Knightley was going to be a trilogy, but I can't quite remember.
That's a very good question. I wrote the Knightley Academy series under the pen name Violet Haberdasher because they said I could have a pen name, so I picked a ridiculous one.
That's awesome.
Which is sort of like when I was 9 and they said I could have a birthday party, so I picked Shakespeare themed. I don't know. I would love to finish telling the Knightley Academy stories, but I moved to a different publisher, so I'm not certain how feasible it is, but I definitely am open to the idea of it.
Cool. And then the second part of the question we already actually answered, which was why do you have different book titles for the same book in different countries? We covered that. And is there a chance at SHBS or TBOE to be optioned for a film? Would you want it to, or would you prefer to just have it stay as the original text? I like those little acronyms there.
Yeah, I call the book T-Bowie.
T-Bowie.
I think it sounds so cute, right? The beginning of everything, T-Bowie. It sounds like a really glam rock tea party.
That's very steampunk, yeah.
Exactly. I would love to see the beginning of everything made into a film. I know the book-to-film agent has been going out on that recently, and I did have a meeting where it came up that I don't think I am allowed to talk about on peril of death. Nothing is definite now, but yeah, I really hope that there would be a film adaptation in the future.
Awesome. Do you have, like, when you write things like this, is that kind of in the back of your mind? And while you do so, are you thinking about what actors you would like to play as your main characters?
No, it hasn't been in my mind. I think because I haven't written a book since I've moved to Los Angeles and gotten more involved in the television industry. Now it's just at the front of my mind because, you know, I go to meetings and people are like, oh, what are you working on? And before I've even written chapter one of my next book, you know, so many producers know the title and know what it's about already just because of, you know, lunch meeting conversation. So that's definitely a massive change from the past. But no, it's not something that I think about. In terms of actors, I mean, I just like to, if I can pull something up on Netflix now, I assume that that's just what the actor looks like currently, even though this is so not the case. So, you know, I'll watch the first season of The OC and I'll be like, oh yeah, Adam Brody is Ezra. And of course he's like 30 something now, so no way. But no, I can't even fantasy cast. But I have been seeing people using like the hashtags and doing fantasy casting on Tumblr for the book. And that is so cool because, first of all, I'm learning who the actors are, and second of all, it's fan art. So when is that not awesome?
That is pretty awesome.
Do you want to continue to write books, and do you think you'll be able to, given all of the amazing stuff that you're trying to juggle now?
Yeah, I love writing novels. I think it's so much fun to sit down at the end of the day and not have to worry about the practicality of, you know, staying within budget or using locations that we can see again, or, you know, not having six actors wind up in a massive confrontation with the bad guy in the hallway where you somehow need to get camera and boom and everything in there, which I definitely, that was the first, I think when I realized I had to think cinematically, it was so different because I like guidelines, but sometimes when I'm telling stories, I just like to not have to worry. So that's why I think I really want to keep with novels.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You don't have anything but the story guiding you when you write, right? Whereas when you're writing for TV movies, I don't think a lot of people realize that the story does have to be filmable. It does have to be possible, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's hard, you know, because I'll think of a location and it's a throwaway location. It's something where we're going to need to move, you know, like three of the main actors to this one spot, and it's just, it's not feasible. And that's, I think, been my crash course out here, is learning all of the things that are possible in fiction that are not possible in screenplay.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people follow your work online and keep up with all the cool things that you're doing?
Well, everyone can find me on Twitter. I am always on Twitter. It's just @RobinSchneider. And I am also on YouTube. I make weird trivia videos, sometimes about German words, but not in German, because I don't speak German. It's also my name on YouTube. Instagram, Tumblr, I am just all over the internet. It's a sad thing.
And you can find links to all that stuff at robinschneider.com. That's RobinSchneider.
I was showing that off already, Tom.
I clicked on it.
I pushed the camera because I'm a director.
But thank you guys so much for having me. This was a blast.
Of course. And if you guys want to follow our work online, everything is over at swordandlaser.com. And if you want to send us an email, the address is feedback@swordandlaser.com. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.